Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello, everybody. This is Todd Tomasello with on Blog Talk Radio with Safeguard Your Soul Radio, and I've got one of my finest friends on the line, and a very blessed elder in my life for the last numerous years, and I'm very, very blessed and thankful to the Lord for his life, Judge and Brother Travis Bryan III. Good morning, Brother Travis. How are you?
Good morning, Todd. Unfortunately, I'm feeling a little elder this morning.
Oh, are you? Well, sometimes
yeah.
We feel it more than we might look it, huh?
That's all right. You know, our pains become our blessings, Todd.
Amen, brother. And that's exactly what we're going to talk about today. And, you know, this is just an amazingly important topic, and it's such a short show. But we're gonna let the Lord lead, and I know he's going to speak great things into the hearts of his people. I love this title, The Vehicle of Victory. The Vehicle of Victory. In one of your writings, you said, the cross is paradoxically and counterintuitively the only vehicle of victory, but it appears to the natural eye to be a vehicle of defeat. When we take up the cross daily, as Jesus prescribed, we take up the vehicle of victory, the only authentic place of rulership and transcendence is nailed to the tree. We reign from the tree, as Psalm 96:10 used to read before a copier of the received text decided to delete from the tree because it seemed so absurd to him that a ruler could rule from such a throne as the tree of crucifixion. Well, that's where Jesus wrought our victory, isn't it, brother? On the tree, as we read in Peter and in Isaiah and all over the Bible.
Absolutely, Todd. The only place in the universe where we can rule and reign is on the tree with Christ. Crucified with Christ is the throne of victory. Todd, what a paradoxical thing that is. Psalm 96:10 now doesn't have from the tree in it, in any of the Bibles, including the King James Version, but we see that verse quoted way back in our church fathers, all the way back to a guy named Tertullian. They all quote that verse, and they add, "Rain from the tree." So the argument is that that was originally part of the verse, and some copyists took it out because he didn't like the fact that that tree was in there, and that. But whether or not it's in there, Todd, the fact remains: we reign from the tree. In other words, we triumph through death, not
yes.
through human strength, but through death. And that was the point that the church fathers were making.
Yes, brother. And, you know, we have so many ideas that are pretty natural to the natural man about overcoming and trying harder and picking up yourself by your bootstraps and mm-hmm. you know, seeking to be a better person. I'm sure you could add a few to that. But what is the real victory, the biblical prescription for victory in the life of a follower of Christ, Brother Travis?
Well, in order to overcome, Todd, we have to undercome. That means we got to come under. In order to stand, in order to understand, we have to come under in order to stand. In order to go up, we must go down. In order to gain, we must lose. In order to be strong, we must be made weak. These are
Amen.
Strange paradoxes to the human mind, Todd.
Amen. The scripture comes to mind. James chapter 4, verse 10. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. That means go down low, and he shall lift you up. We want to be raised up in the power of God today, saints, not in our own feeble, limited power, but in the power of God. And the only way that can happen is to go down deep into the death of Christ, to cry out to God today with perhaps hands lifted high and heart lifted high to the throne of God, mostly saying, Lord, you must increase, but I must decrease. I love that prayer, Brother Travis. That's John the Baptist, John verse 3, chapter 3, verse 30. That's a great memory verse and a prayer. He must increase. He must increase, but I must decrease. Amen.
Mm-hmm. And Todd, you know, the passage that really got my attention on this cross, I call it the cross lifestyle, the way evil is defeated is not by striking blows, but by turning the other cheek and absorbing the blows. Now, let that soak in. Jesus says in Matthew 5:38, ye have heard it that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for tooth. In other words, if someone attacks you, you attack back. If someone sues you, you sue back. This is the Old Testament tree of the knowledge of good and evil way of thinking. And Jesus goes beyond that and says, I say to you that ye resist not evil. Now, there it is, Todd. Resist not evil. Resist not a violent person who attacks you. And this is the way evil is defeated. God allowed, through Jesus, people to trample on him, and in so doing, he trampled on them. His defeat of the enemy is always done at the cross or in a similar pattern as the cross. And so when we turn the cheek and allow the blow to be struck, then we turn the other cheek and absorb that blow, Todd. It defeats the striker. The striker is defeated somehow mysteriously in that process. And
yes, it's kind of like
just an amazing truth.
Yeah, amen, brother. You often are have in the past. I've heard you use the analogy of a martial artist. Can you explain that? Who receives the blow of the opponent? Go ahead.
In Aikido, for instance, the martial arts, you use the power of the enemy to defeat the enemy. You generate no power of your own. You basically take the thrust that they come against you with and allow them to throw themselves on the floor and defeat themselves. And that's the principle right there, Todd.
Yes, absolutely. And that's what happened at the cross. I love the Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 passage we read lately about how Jesus came in the flesh and defeated death. And the way he did that was by dying for us. Let me read it for you here. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, that is the human race, fallen human race at that time, and still, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. Now that is counterintuitive, Brother Travis, isn't it? That
yes,
you would look at that.
He allowed
say,
death
he
to defeat
death
itself.
Through death. Yeah.
He allowed death to defeat itself. By his death he defeated death. And Satan, of course, has the power of death.
Yes.
So the cross of Christ is God's judgment. It is God's wrath. It is God's revenge. It is his vehicle of victories. And so we can't just let it stop with him, Todd. We're told, as you open the program with, to take up this same vehicle of victory in our life and absorb the blows and love our enemies and don't resort to retaliation or eye for eye, tooth for tooth or trying to right all our wrongs. We leave that in the hand of God, and we take it for Him. And God works wonders through that mysterious miracle of the cross, Todd. That's the greatest miracle by far that's ever happened on earth, is that Jesus came down here and took all the cursing, took all the blows, and turned it around and reversed it into victory. And we can reverse everything, all the bad things that happened to us, Todd, into victory through the cross, through taking up the vehicle of victory, Todd.
Amen. You know, I'm putting together a new book for the future called Backfired, which captures this very thing. You, of all people, get that. You know, the vices and the things he does always backfire on him. When the children of Israel were being oppressed under Pharaoh in the land of Egypt, we see that the more that they oppressed them, the more they multiplied and grew. They're in Exodus 1:12. Now, that right there, folks, is a spiritual truth, a biblical truth that you got to lock into. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew, and they were grieved because of the children of Israel. And you see that in the book of Acts. The more that the apostles in the early church were persecuted, the more the church grew and spread across all the land of Europe and Asia, etc. And that's still what happens today. Jesus defeated death and the enemy by the cross. Colossians 2:14, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us and of the way. The law is obsolete for righteousness. Nailing it to the cross, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat, etc. Christ conquered death and Satan at the cross, and that's the way he's conquered today, by the reenactment of the cross in our daily lives. The death and burial and resurrection, it's very simple. We don't want to complicate this. It's a matter of waving the white flag today, isn't it, Brother Travis?
Yes, it's with waving the white flag and surrender, Todd. We don't surrender in the sense of giving up hope. We surrender in the interest of our hope and our faith. And we believe God can fight the battle better than we can. But if we insist on getting on the front line and fighting that battle through human effort and law and self-endeavors, then he'll let us go out there and fight it, you know, until we finally wear out and faint. And then he'll move in, if we trust him, and take over and win the battle, Todd. But we need to raise that white flag and quit thinking we can do this battle and let him have it.
Let go and let God. Amen. The daily
Here's
cross,
a verse
Jesus
for you,
said,
Todd. John 12. Yeah. Now, this one is one that gets me along these same lines. John 12:31 through 33. Now is the judgment of this world. Now, remember, he's saying this on the eve of his crucifixion. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. Okay, well now, he's speaking of his death as the vehicle of victory there over the enemy. The enemy is cast out at the cross. Going on now with verse 32. And if I be lifted up, there, clear reference to the cross, lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. Wow, I mean, here he is fixing to go to the cross, and all the gloom and doom should be what he's discussing, and yet he's discussing victory, Todd. Victory, the vehicle of victory there.
Amen, brother. Amen. The only way up is down in the kingdom of God, Brother Travis, huh?
Absolutely. We've got to get down, Todd. That is such a huge message in the New Testament. You know, the thing that comes to mind is Luke 14. You know, when you go into a party or go into an event, take the low place, and someone will come along and say, friend, go up higher. Well, that's a statement to us, is to take up the cross, get down, come down out of your arrogance and self-righteousness and your own thoughts that you can do anything for God, and take the low place. We need to sit down into the death of Christ, Todd. And then he'll come along and raise us up higher than we could have ever attained on our own. But if we go in and want the best seat in the house, the high place, then we'll get knocked down. Somebody will come along and say, hey, bud, go down and get somewhere else.
That's pretty embarrassing, isn't it?
It would be, Todd.
It would be if we took that route. It's
absolutely
always best to take the humble route, isn't it?
It is.
Paul the Apostle understood this better than anyone, if you will, other than Christ. But as Christ's disciples in the whole New Testament era, you got to know Paul by what he said, understands and understood this principle of the cross better than anyone that's ever walked with Christ, perhaps, obviously. 2 Corinthians 4:10-12, the great apostle of Jesus writes, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. And here's why. That the life, don't we need the life of Christ dwelling in us today, teeming in us, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. What a victory, brother, that the life of Jesus can be made manifest in our lives today. Hallelujah. And the way that's made possible is through the vehicle of victory, and that's always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 10. There can be no resurrection until there's first a death, a acknowledging of our need to lay down our lives, be crucified with Christ, as Paul also wrote, so that nevertheless, though we live, yet it's him that's living in us, and the life which we now live in the flesh, we live by the faith of the Son of God, Brother Travis. Amen.
Oh, amen, Todd. Jesus lived the cross lifestyle, and he alluded to it. But, you know, until the Spirit came to us and we were indwelt by the Holy Spirit, we didn't have the capacity to understand this message. This has to be a spiritually taught truth. And so Jesus lived it, and he laid down the example, and the event itself was Christ being crucified. Paul came along, and the risen Christ then downloaded into Paul the explanation for all this. And in his epistles, 14 of which I believe there are, including Hebrews in my mind, he explains this. And so the way to understand the message of the entire Bible is to understand the writings of Paul. Because, and you just read one of the big ones there in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 10, speaks of an internal death, Todd, that we are always bearing about within ourselves, the dying process of Jesus. Here's a fact on that, Todd. The Holy Spirit is constituted with this killing power.
Yes.
That the Holy Spirit has this death, this the ability to die in it. And so the Spirit works this death internally within you. But then verse 11 is speaking of outward things, your circumstances, things you go through, you're handed over to death. And I think he's using death there not only in a real way, but also as a metaphor for all of the oppositional circumstances that we're handed over to. And God allows that for this process of death to take place within us. So the cross working in our circumstances, combined with the internal cross brought to us by the Holy Spirit, brings down this self-center in us, Todd, which is crucial to the living out of Christ in the world and glorifying God in our lives, Todd.
Amen. And this is exactly the biblical prescription for putting off the old man and putting on the new man. God's solution is the cross of Christ, who bled to be the propitiation for our sins, and also assigned us that if we were going to follow him, Brother Travis, we have to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow him. It is not an option if you're going to be in eternal glory with Jesus. It is not an option if you're going to be truly used of the Lord in this life. You know, Galatians 5:24 really puts a nail in this one. Paul writes, "They that are Christ's have crucified the flesh, the affections and lust." I tell you, when I read that, Brother Travis, it makes me check myself. They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. They identify with Christ in his death, that they might be raised up with him. Now, Brother Travis, that's what Romans 6 teaches, isn't it? Right there in
absolutely. That is Romans 6 and 7. You know, dying to the law is just as important as dying to sin, Todd. I mean, Paul puts those on an equal plane of importance. Then he comes along with a similar verse to the one you just read, Galatians 5:24. You've read this one here on the show before, Romans 8:13. "For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live." Now, notice there that we don't mortify those deeds of the body in our own effort. We can't put them down by trying hard. It's through the Spirit and our yieldedness to God's circumstances and things he allows into our life. Our yieldedness to the cross is what brings that death through the Spirit, Todd, the killing power of the Spirit working in our hearts, that these deeds of the body are mortified.
Amen. So we've got the divine power of the Holy Ghost as we cooperate with God in the gospel, which is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 through 4. That is the definition, the biblical definition of the gospel, is the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And it's the prescription and the vehicle for daily victory. Verse 25, Brother Travis, in Galatians 5, the next verse, "If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." And, you know, as you were talking, it occurs to me that instead of trying harder, I need to learn to die harder. Is that correct?
Yeah, just turn your efforts over to God and let him make the effort and trust him in faith. And when you walk out your door, circumstances will come to you that will facilitate, if you'll respond to them properly, they will facilitate your death with Christ, Todd. The world is full of adversity. But as you said earlier, you know, we need adversity. We need opposition. We can't grow without opposition, Todd. And, of course, the devil presides that through people and through the elements and through various things, you know.
No lack of that, right?
No. I mean, you know, what would Texas A&M be without the University of Texas? They need that game. I mean, we need to play that game every year because we're just not the same without that opposition. You know, we can't grow and get better without a foe to deal with.
A strong component. And that's some of the other shows we've talked about and going to talk about more in the future, about how God uses Satan to bring these things about. And that becomes a blessing. Notice Romans 6:5, as we close here with about 5 minutes left. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. And again, notice that there's got to be a death to be a resurrection. God's not going to raise up something, resurrect it, that's still alive in its own power. Without the death, there'll be no resurrection. In fact, you pointed a verse out to me a number of years ago, Brother Travis, that I really love, and it stayed with me ever since, where Paul is saying basically we're fools if we think God's going to raise up something that's not dead. And it's 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 36, quote, "Thou fool, that which thou sowest or plants is not quickened, made alive, except it die." There's got to be, in order to be a resurrection, Brother Travis, is that correct?
Absolutely. And Todd, Romans 6:5 has proportionality to it. It's in the Greek perfect tense, which would, you could literally translate it, "For if we have been and continue to be planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection." There's a sense of proportionality to that. The more you have yielded to death in your life, the more you have died to self, the more of Christ's life will indwell you and empower you and change you, and the more you will become that new creation man. The more you've died, the more you will live, Todd. There's proportionality there. It's directly proportional. The life of you in you is directly proportional to the amount of death you've died.
Absolutely, brother. In fact, the relationship we experience of the Lord is based on that, and also how God can use us in a powerful way is going to be proportional or conditional upon how much we're willing to be united with Christ in his death and acknowledging that there is something to be put to death, and that's the old man, that old sinful nature. In fact, the Apostle Paul spoke of this daily cross as an ongoing thing when he said always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord. And also 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27, "I keep present and continual, I keep under my body, lest by any means after I have preached to others, I myself should be a cast away," or one who is cast away in the end. One thing's for sure, I have to throw this in there. Paul did not believe in a once saved, always saved theology. He knew that he was accountable to God, as you are and I am, beloved, to stay before the Lord, to keep under our body through the daily cross, resigning ourselves over to the will of God, crying out with Jesus as he did in the Garden of Gethsemane, "Not my will, but thine be done." Brother Travis, that would be a phenomenal prayer for us to pray individually today, is, "Lord, not my will, but thine be done today." I invite you, encourage you, beloved saint, to pray that and to ask the Lord to fill you afresh, to refresh you and to bless you, to fill you and give you that dominating power of the Holy Ghost, as Brother Travis spoke of earlier out of Romans 8:13, so that the Holy Spirit of God can gain mastery in your life as through the vehicle of victory which Jesus gave us in the cross. Father, we love you. We thank you for these moments together and pray that you would let us receive with meekness this engrafted word of God, that it would become impregnated in us, Lord, and germinate and begin to develop, and set us apart. Lay your hand upon our lives for your glory and victory through Jesus Christ, who we look for his soon return. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, Todd.